Second Timothy chapter 3. And we'll stay right there pretty much through the remainder of the service. That one's for me. Praise the Lord, I like that. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 1 says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Did we get that? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you for being able to be here today. And Lord, thank you for the great Sunday school time, the liberty. And Lord, I pray that you might just be with us now, that we would say those things that needs to be said. But Lord, we'd leave off that's not convenient. Lord, I pray you'd just meet the need of the day. Lord, I pray you would grow this church in the manner that you'd have it grow. Lord, that it'd be a strong church and not be a weak church and not be like some of this other stuff we see. And oh God, I just pray that in these days that we might see a great harvest of souls. Lord, even in this area, Lord, we realize that there are lost people all around us right here in America. Lord, they're everywhere. They speak English, they speak Spanish, they speak whatever kind of language there might be. And Lord, I pray you'd meet needs and help us to stand in these days now. For asking Christ's name for his sake, amen. As we were talking a little more about the work that God has called us to, and we work with Spanish-speaking people wherever we get a chance, wherever we can. We worked in the country of Paraguay, South America for many, many years, 8 years to be exact. We stayed there and we worked in Paraguay. And to be honest with you, I worked for the power company before that, and like Paul said, he knew how to be abound and how to be abased. And far as financially, I never did know what to be abased was until I came back to the United States of America and began in the new ministry, what God dealt with us about. And our time in Paraguay, we lived in nice houses. We lived in places that were good. I've heard missionaries talk about, we've learned it in our missionary training school about culture shock. And I don't know if I'm too dumb to understand culture shock or what, but I never did really understand what culture shock was, because what I understood was language shock. You take a country boy from the low country of South Carolina that ain't never spoke Spanish in his life, ain't never really heard it but a few times, and he try to learn Spanish and live in a Spanish country to where you don't hear nothing but Spanish, that's language shock. But I'm going to tell you something. I like to eat. And I found out if I didn't learn the language, I couldn't order what I wanted. But I found out that a hamburger ain't too far from what a hamburger is in English. A hamburguesa is a hamburger in Spanish. I know that. And I figured out that queso was cheese. So if I want me a cheeseburger, it's hamburguesa con queso. I figured that out pretty quick. So we learned how to eat. And I thought I'd lose weight when I went on a mission field. Well, that didn't work. Because we find a way to adapt to whatever situation we're in. And we lived good. Many times, I already talked to you about Honduras, and they have a bus down there, got a bus ministry. But many times in Paraguay, we need the same thing and still do. We got a Paraguayan national down there, and he is what you call a for real country boy. We do not live in the country here in the United States. I don't care where you live. You don't live in the country like he does. You drive three hours from the capital city. You drive 45 minutes down to a little town. They call it a pueblo. But it's a little town, and it's got two little things that kind of look like a store, but you can't hardly get anything in there. I mean, you can buy a Coca-Cola, and you might buy a bag of crackers or something. That's about all you get out of that store. That's how that is. And in that little town, you ride in an automobile, if it's not raining, out to where his place is. If it's raining and not raining too much, you can go in a four-wheel drive pickup. But if it's raining quite a bit, you could go in an ox cart or walk. That's just how it is. He lives in the country. You open a gap in the fence, you go in there, there's his little thatch roof house. And back way back down there in what I guess here in Virginia we'd call the holler, that's where the church is. And you look in there and you don't see anybody. You don't see houses. But come Sunday morning, come time for church, and people come out the woodwork. They're everywhere. They're in that church. There would be more of them if we had a bus. There would be more of them if he had some transportation. All he's got is a motorcycle. He just got that here a year or so ago. But they come out from everywhere. And it's a blessing to be in that little church. Year before, in 13, I was down and did his daughter's wedding. And they were setting up tables out there in the yard, and they decorate, they make everything beautiful. I mean, it's just, you couldn't understand this if you were there, unless you were there. They got a house that's pretty much a dirt floor, and they've got crepe paper and this and that and the other, and they just make it beautiful for a wedding. It looks like you're in some kind of fancy place. They got all these tables set up. I said, Florentino, man, you got enough tables set up, man, 200 or 300 people out of here. He said, man, there could be probably 200 people here tonight for that wedding. I said, really? Yeah, they could be here. There's all of them. A wedding's a big thing. We could be at the wedding. In Paraguay, a wedding ain't like what we have. We have a wedding. It lasts about an hour, maybe the reception an hour, 2 hours. You done with that wedding. No, that ain't how it is down there. That wedding down there starts about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. The couple goes to town, and they do the civil wedding, because the government don't recognize the church wedding. So they do the civil wedding that morning. So legally they're married before you have the church wedding. Well, the festivities begin. And we're there from like 6:30 in the morning. Wedding's at 7 that evening. We had festivities all day. We do the wedding. And then there's the reception after the wedding. So I'm about 10 o'clock that night. It's about all this old boy could take. I done had about enough. My back's killing me. But to tell you the kind of fella Florentino is, I said, Florentino, I said, I gotta go to bed. So he takes me in there. I knew where I was gonna stay. I'm gonna stay in his wife and his bed. That's where we gonna stay. That's the best bed in the house. I don't know where he slept. I said, well, that's your bed. I don't sleep there. No, that's you sleep there. He put me in his bed. And it was cold that night. I was a little chilly, but that's okay. I can handle that. Well, that was about 10 or 10:30. He come looking at me. He thought I was sleeping. I wasn't. He come over there and he touched my shoulder. I said, what is he doing? You know, I just want to see what he's doing. He went to my feet. He said, brother, you cold, aren't you? I said, yeah, my feet's cold. Well, he gets a blanket and wraps my feet up. Now tell me something. How many grown men would do that for you? He loves me. He loves his people. And during the wedding, he comes to me and he's very humble man. I'm the missionary, but he pastors that church. This man sitting on the front row is the pastor of the church. If he wants me to sit down and shut up, I'm going to sit down and shut up because he's the pastor of the church. That's what I should do. And he looked at me and said, Brother David, you think I should preach in this wedding? I said, I don't know. You're the pastor of the church. Do you think you should preach? He said, most of them 200 people is going to be here and going to be Catholic. I said, yeah, I think you ought to preach. I really think that would be the will of God for you to preach today. Well, he took about 20 or 30 minutes. And son, He got up and he nailed Catholicism to the wall. I mean, I'm telling you, talk about the people going to hell. They didn't know Christ. They just serving a ritual, all this kind of stuff. I mean, he just got in there and nailed down Catholicism. I'm looking at it. It's about 20 or 30 of us, about 200 of them. You reckon we go get out of here tonight? And that's what's going through my mind. He got through preaching. I said, preacher. I said, them people gonna let us out of here? He said, man, they love me. The Catholic folk love him. He blisters their hide and they still love him. He said, you watch me tonight. Them people out there hugging on him said, man, I appreciate you preaching to him. He said, some of them folks will get saved for long. Some of them are saved. They're in the church now. Amen. His daughter's in-laws are saved and in church now. He preaches, Brother Billy, you need to go with me. He preaches over one of them right there. And to get that computer, to get it on the radio station, some kind of how way they do it. I don't know how they do that. I can't hardly turn that thing on. I use it, and I know more about it than I let on about too. But he knows less about it than me, but he's preaching over the internet. His phone rings all the time wanting him to go somewhere and preach. He's got another daughter that lives in Buenos Aires, Argentina. They got a little group down there that's wanting to build a church now. I need to go there. There's many places that I need to go and where he needs to go. But many times he and I are hindered because of funds. And I'm going to say something that I hope doesn't offend. There's churches that have the ability to do and won't do. I know of a church right now. It ain't all that far from here. I reckon 40, 80, maybe 100 miles. They got on their board. Y'all don't have a board in here, do you? They got $100,000 in a building fund. They got an almost new building. I mean, it's nice. It ain't not lacking nothing. I talked to that preacher about that thing. He said, we ain't got a bit of money for missions. $100,000 sitting in a building fund. I know of a church that's got $5,000 sitting in a flower fund. That's all it's for, to buy flowers and put in the church. I can buy a whole bunch of flowers for $5,000. I could have bought a bus in Paraguay for $9,000, a nice one. I had people in America wanting to give me one. I said, that'd be good if you delivered at 2281 Padre de la Cruz Ortigosa. He said, what are you talking about? I said, that's my address in Paraguay. If you deliver it, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful. And that sounds like I'm being a smart aleck or somebody wanting to give me something. But by the time you ship it there, and by the time you pay customs on it, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to be gasoline and you got to switch it to diesel. 9 times out of 10, you'll pay more for it for them giving it to you than you could have bought one for. But the missionaries kind of don't have his brains together. Don't understand what's going on. But you just pray that God would give Florentino some kind of transportation. Because right there where his church is, if he had an old pickup or old bus or whatever he had, he could pack that thing out every Sunday. His parents are in their 80s. And when they're able, they walk more than 2 miles to church, his parents. And there's countless of people like that all out in them mountains on that. They're rolling hills, they're not mountains like we've got. But them people are all over the place like that, and they'd be in church if they could get there. But pray that God would do something about that. The whole time I was in Paraguay, I was burdened for these little villages that have people like that. They hear the gospel over the radio, and they want to be in church. A lot of them have been saved, but they ain't never been able to get to church. Some of them ain't able to walk 2 miles. His parents are in good shape at 80-something years old. They can walk 2 miles. But our churches in America are in terrible shape. Our country is in the shape it's in because of our churches in America. Last night, I was thinking about studying for a new message today, and God laid this message on my heart. And I don't know what God's going to do when I begin to preach it, but it's kind of a hard message. And I don't mean to be ugly or mean to you people, but I believe it reflects where we're at in this world, in this country that we're in. And if you think I'm being offensive, it's not that I'm trying to be offensive to you. It's because of what the Bible says about where we're at in the day that we live in. The scripture here says, this know that in the last days perilous times are coming. Hey, it's there. I've had people tell me, are you not afraid to be in those third world countries and that? Man, I'm afraid to go to Greensboro. This place in Greensboro, I don't want to go tonight. I know of a church right down there now that the ghetto has grew up around that church. And the church is a good church, got a good man of God in that church. But I'm here to tell you, when I get in my car down that night, I want to get out of there. I don't want to be nowhere around that church. It's in the ghetto. It wasn't one time, but it grew up around. Greensboro, San Pedro Sula, Honduras. You don't get out at night. You stay where you're at. You don't go. Asuncion, Paraguay. I know it better than I do Greensboro as far as driving. I know where I'm going. But there's places that the law don't go. I mean, this place the law don't go. If the law don't go, you better stay out of there. Somebody's going to hurt you. It's dangerous. We're living in the last days. No doubt, we're living in the last days. Now, I believe that all my life. I've heard this preached ever since I was saved, 7 years old, 53 years ago. I've heard that Christ could come back at any moment. He could. He'd come back before we get through this message. I know that. I understand that. But the things that we see now, it's so much closer than it had been. We see things in our own lives and our own attitudes have waxed cold because we're not seeing great things happen like we have in the past. We've seen revival. I've seen the stirring of God in churches before like I've never seen in my life. We're not seeing it now like we had. It's not there. I really believe that the Lord is withdrawing His Holy Spirit from us. And when we get raptured out, and I'm going to say this reverently as I possibly can, we think we're having it hard now, but if we get raptured out of here and somebody is left behind that thinks they're saved, that's when all hell will break loose. And I'm not cussing. I'm just telling you that's what's going to happen. The devils and demons of hell are going to just be turned loose to do whatever they want to do and however they want to do it in this land. That's what's going to happen. Verses 2 and 4, in this same portion of Scripture, says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Hey, ain't we there? Covetous. Got to have exactly what the other man's got. I began to ask the preacher about this car he drives out of. He drives a Hyundai. And I like the new ones. I like what they look like. And I was wondering, are they any good? Because years ago, they wasn't. But he's telling me they're a pretty good vehicle now. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't covet after his automobile. I want to know about whether it's any good in case I end up buying one down the road. But I see fellas, they got to have just what you got. Jealous of what you got or jealous of what somebody else has got. Covetous. Boasters. Look what I got. Look what God's done for me. He ain't done that for you. Well, He might be cursed you with that thing you got. You know what it is? Might be. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. 3-year-old kids telling mom and daddy what to do. Oh, yeah. 3-year-old kids. We got just two young couples in our church down in Charleston, and thank God for them. Most of them's older than me, and I ain't no little baby. Me and the pastor, we're close. He's 57, I'm 60. Well, we'll be in a day or two. But most everybody in there is older than us. If something don't happen in that church with young couples, it'll drop and die. We got to get young people in there. But those that have them little ones in there, they don't really believe in this spanking a child. Preacher said, if my daddy and his daddy was living, they'd stay in jail. They would never get out. Because I can tell you one thing. My daddy, he believed in a spanking now. And it didn't look like it stunted my growth too much. I know I got some. But it didn't stunt my growth. I didn't like him. But I know one thing, I didn't disrespect him either. It didn't cause me to disrespect him. It caused me to straighten up by what I was doing. It began to put that fear of God in my life. Our Heavenly Father has a belt too. I remember as a teenager, I wanted to do everything all the other guys were doing. And I did some of it. I'm not proud of it. But I know one thing. When I went somewhere I had no business going, the Lord would always deal with me and said, now, son, what you doing in here? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do if you get before me tonight? I said, oh no, I gotta go. I can't stay here. I'm telling you, I challenge anybody to say, I can live in sin and enjoy it. He's lost.
That's right.
Because if you can live in sin and do anything you want to do and it don't bother you, you're probably lost.
Right. You are.
My pastor, he was a Mormon. He didn't get saved, he was 38 years old. And he began one day talking about some of the stuff he'd done. I said, preacher, you got to be kidding me. You done that? Yeah, I done it. I said, it didn't bother you. He said, no, I was lost. It didn't bother me a bit. He said, now, when I got saved, it started bothering me to think about what I used to do. He said, I don't even think about it now. If I think about it, it bothers me. But some of this wicked stuff he'd done, he was a deputy sheriff. And I ain't never had a whole lot of use for the law because most of them a bunch of crooks. And one of y'all in law enforcement, that's fine. But most of them that I knew was crooks. And he got out of it because he began to believe that himself. He said, I thought them rascals would kill me. And he began to tell me about that. But a lost man can do anything and it don't bother him. Saved man can't. It bothers. He can do it. But he'll get a whipping for it. Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection. How in the world can we abort babies like we do in the United States of America? That is without natural affection. Truce breakers. You know, we used to go in the bank, shake hands with somebody and get a loan. Preacher, I know you remember that. Walking in. I need $1,000. Thank you, sign this paper, go on. Try it now. Get a loan, you might have to sign a book about that thing. I told the banker in there one day, I said, how in the world can the bank afford your salary? I said, that's a little simple thing me and you doing in here today, and you done took up way over 2 hours with me. I said, it ain't no way in the world you can make that much money off what you've done for me in your salary. He said, it's job security. And I said, yeah, I reckon it is. But I don't know how y'all making money with this because they paid you 2 hours for something that they going to net that kind of money. False accusers. Somebody tell a lie on you in a minute now. I mean, they tell a lie about you. Incontinent, out of control, fierce, mean folks, despise of those that do good. Hey, I'm telling you, there's folks out there in this world that hate this church. Yep. Guarantee you they hate it. Hate it. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I call this the reviler. He's living in revelry, self-centered. His conscience is seared. Don't have any conscience at all about what he does. I shared something with Brother Billy out there in the parking lot. I don't know how we come up with it. But my son got married in January. Well, his wife is a Spanish-speaking person. And I knew her for many years. But in many ways, I know she has now deceived me, okay, and him. Well, she wanted to go to a different church, and she has been going to a different church. Now, Jonathan drives a truck, and sometimes he's home on the weekend, sometimes he's not. Most of the time, he is. But he went to church with her about two Sundays, and it's a church very close to y'all. It's Martinsville, okay? And he went to that church, come out, and they got in the pickup to leave. He looked at her and said, "We need to find a bar." She said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That music in that church makes me want to go drink liquor." He said, "There's something wrong with this picture. You mean to tell me I've been in church and I'm supposed to get uplifted and try to get the wickedness out of me on Sunday because I've been out there in that world the whole week driving, and here I come out of church and what I want to do is go to a bar?" He said, "Something's wrong with that music." He said, "I don't want no more to do with that." And what he done, I reckon, was wicked, because he reached over and turned the radio on in the truck. It was a rock station. He meant to put it on that. And she was over there kind of driving to that rock. And he said, "See that? You don't even understand the words." He said, "That song's wicked." But that's the same music they had in church. They just put a couple Bible words in it. So I ain't going back to this church if you do more. Praise God, he's got enough sense to realize that that ain't church. That ain't church. I got a half of mine to drop in on that pastor and tell him it ain't church. He'd probably send me to jail. They don't want somebody to take the book and show up anything no more. They don't want that. Why is our country in such a shape? Because our churches are that way. Hey, I didn't tell you this. That is an independent, supposed to be fundamental Baptist church I'm talking about. I ain't talking about no Southern Baptist church. I'm not. And while I'm on that, I'll tell you what happened to me here in Asheville, North Carolina. And this has been 10 years ago. This church had been supporting me for years. Preacher asked me, said, "Brother David, I want to ask you something." I said, "What's that?" I said, "If you was in my church and you was updating us on your work, and I got up Sunday morning and I began to preach out of another version of the Bible, what would you do?" This is my answer to him. "I guess I'm a smart aleck." I said, "Preacher, let me tell you something. You're the pastor of that church. You can preach out the funny paper if you want to. You're the pastor." I said, "But I'm going to preach out of a King James Bible, and I don't care whether you like it or not. That's what I'm going to do." Well, I wasn't too long. My support was gone. But we got churches. We ain't got to talk about Southern Baptists or some other denomination now. We got churches that are independent fundamental Baptist churches that's departing from this book.
Right.
Wide open, just with the hammer down, getting away from it. Mm-hmm. Living in revelry. Well, let's go on down here, maybe to get better directly. Verses 5 and 6 says, "Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." It tells me what to do with them churches. "From such, turn away. For of this thought they are which are crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust." I see the religious crowd. We got a whole pile of religious folk. Man, praise God, let's go to the house of God this morning and let's just do whatever. I've been in one or two of them services because you get caught on them in every now and then. You do. Ain't no power in that.
Nope.
They church players. They play in church come Sunday morning. They put on their clothes. Well, no, they don't really put on their clothes because they ain't got no standards. They just put on whatever. And they up there swaying around and dancing around and call that church. Go out and live wicked as hell like they always did. No conviction. No nothing. Church players. Religious folk. The devil loves religious folk. If he can keep you religious and lost, he loves it.
That's right.
Because religion will send you straight to hell.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Go ahead, brother. Praise you.
The Catholic religion will send you straight to hell. Mm-hmm. Not the president of Paraguay now, because he's a wicked communist, but we had one here about 5 or 6, 8 years ago. At his inauguration, I didn't hear it, but a missionary friend of mine went to it and was invited to the president's inauguration, and he went to it and heard him say this. He said, if everybody in the world had a relationship with Jesus Christ, this world would be so much better. And then he put a parenthesis there. He said, I'm not talking about some ritual with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a relationship. That's a pretty good statement to make. The Catholics have a ritual with Jesus Christ. One thing I like about knocking on doors in a Latin country, about 90% of the time when you knock on the door, you'll be dealing with a Catholic. When you knock on the door here, you don't know what's going to come to that door. It'll ought to be anything. In many ways, I think it's more dangerous to knock on doors here than it is in third world. Because in third world, in Catholic-speaking country, you have very few people refuse a gospel tract. They are Catholic by tradition. They don't know what they believe themselves. They're easier to lead to the Lord than most people we have here. You'll have one of them say, soy Catholica, I'm Catholic, and they don't want it. But they're not ugly about it, they say, I just don't want it. But that ain't what we got here. You hardly ever see somebody take a gospel tract and ball it up and throw it on the ground in a third world. You don't. Here, I guarantee we can probably get into that before we got out of the yard 10 feet. Religious. And then we got some creepers, some church creepers. This church is beginning to grow back. Be careful about that one that creeps in unawares. You get one creep in unaware, and you think everything's fine. Well, reckon they'd be done voted you out, and they'll be here. Careful about them church creepers. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I call that the researchers. They are researching everything, taking everything and looking at it with a fine-tooth comb. They get there and they say, they get on the History Channel on television and they'll watch something that this world was formed some 6 billion years ago and this, that, and the other, and it's some kind of scientific thing and some kind of scientific thing about God, all this kind of stuff. And they're researchers. They're always seeking out something, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't look in the book to find out what happened. They rely on science. Science is a wonderful thing, but when it supersedes God's word, you need to junk science. Mm-hmm. Tell you something about science, something about this stuff. I had a fella that he got saved here just a month or so ago. His son got saved some 5 years ago. Hey, I love automobiles. I tell you I do. If I had enough money, I'd have a Walmart distribution center full of them. I love them. Therefore, I like being around mechanic shops. You probably run up with me one day in a pocket tee and a pair of blue jeans because that's my favorite attire. Some fellas say, Brother Ed, why you stay around them shops? They're greasy. Them some of them fellas is rough and all that kind of stuff. I said, they lost too. Mm-hmm. I said, you like to hang around them high-class drunks over there on the golf course. I said, that's what y'all like. Y'all play golf. Them fellas over there drink liquor too. I said, they smoke cigarettes and do whatever. They might be more wicked than mechanics. Hush, leave me alone. Well, I led one of the mechanics to the Lord, and he got burdened for his daddy. His daddy's a mean fella. I mean, he's rough. Well, here about 3 months ago, this young man called me. He said, David? Well, he don't call me. He called me Preacher Wise. Is he Preacher Wise? He said, Daddy's ready. I said, what do you mean Daddy's ready? He said, he's scared. I said, he's scared of what? I ain't never known him to be scared of anything. He said, he's scared of that heart attack, what which they think he's having. He's laying in a Gaelic hospital. Can you go see him? I was give out, tired. But I caught a second wind. I went up to the Gaelic hospital. He's laying there in the hospital. And my wife was with me. His wife was in there, and another woman was in there. And I could tell he wanted them women gone. He wanted them gone now. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to get him out of there, because I can tell he didn't want him in there. Finally, he looked over and he said, Sandra, don't you think you need some exercise? You've been in here a good while. That's his wife. She said, yeah, I think I can do that. And I was just like, y'all, get out of here. So they got out of there. He looked at me and said, David, am I going to make it? I said, what do you mean? He said, I want to make it. I'm hurting my chest, man. Hurting my arm, all in my neck and all that. I said, George, I don't know. I said, what did the doctor say? He said, doctor said, I'm having a heart attack. I said, oh, I'm on the verge of it. I said, I don't know. I said, I'll key. I don't think make it or not. He said, what am I doing? I said, I know how you can make it. You might not make it here, but you can make it throughout eternity and have eternal life. I'm going to do that. I said, you need to get saved. He said, save me. I said, I can't do that. Ain't one can do that. That's Jesus Christ. Hey, how you doing? He's ready. I took my Bible and I began to show him a few verses. He said, will you pray for me? I said, I can pray for you, but I said, I can't get you saved. I said, you got to ask Christ to save yourself. I said, I can't do that. You got to ask him. He got down and he said, you go pray? I said, yeah, I'm going to pray. I said, when I get done praying, you need to pray. And I prayed God to give him wisdom, give him sense and understand how to pray. And this is what he prayed. Dear Lord, I'm a bad boy. I've been bad all my life. I've been wicked and mean. I've done a lot of bad stuff. He said, but now, if you'd have it in you to save my old wicked soul, I sure would appreciate it. That's pretty much what he prayed. I believe he got in. Next day, you know where he was? They found out that he wasn't really having a heart attack. He had his carotid artery was stopping up, and that's what's causing all the pain. And they were giving him medicine, and it kind of let up, and he got where he was pretty much all right. His son went to go pick him up the next morning because they were going to let him out. Or a couple days later, they were going to let him out of the hospital. He ain't in the bed. He's gone. Where is daddy at? The nurse said, well, he's in here a few minutes ago. I don't know where he's at. He done took off. They found him down there in the waiting room, had him a bunch of women around him, and he was praying with them. He said, let me tell y'all something. These doctors can't help you in here. Them loved ones you got in there that's sick, dying, all that, they can't help you. Only Jesus can help you. I believe he got in. I went to see him here not too long after that. I mean, he still got a few rough edges on him, but he ain't there as mean as he was. I like it when they get in. They got to get lost first. Religious folk ain't going to get in. They're not. But people rely on science and then they rely on the seminary. I call it the cemetery. I've been to Bible college. I don't know if you can tell it or not, but I've been there. I've been there. But some of these fellows like to flaunt their degree. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the clock. We will get out of here before 4:30. I was down in Georgia, Mississippi. And me and this old country boy, we were sitting up out of his place, and he's from Georgia, and I'm from South Carolina, Virginia, whatever you want to say. I don't know where I'm from. But we were sitting up out of his place, and I could see the event. He drove up in the yard. And the way he drove up in the yard, I knew he was going to be arrogant. I said, I am not going to like sitting under him. He walks in there, and he's speaking some kind of a language that's foreign to me. It wasn't Spanish, and it wasn't English. I could pretty much tell either one of them. I said, sir, what language is that you speaking? He said, that was Greek. I said, okay. I said, can you speak Greek? No, I just know a few words. I said, in other words, you're flaunting your degree then, right? That's exactly what I told him. Y'all don't like what I said? I'm just that way. I said, you're flaunting your degree. You're trying to impress somebody. He wheeled it down. And that night we was at the fellowship hall eating, and he was waxing eloquent about everything he knew. And I'm just sitting there listening. part of what he was saying was good and part of it wasn't. And I'm praying the whole time. I said, somebody, Lord, I said, you need to take the wind out of this man's sails. Well, that evening, he was to preach. He got to preach. The man couldn't preach a lick. I said, oh, no, I done messed up. I done prayed God to fix him up. He couldn't preach. I mean, he was all over himself. Well, Sunday night, I had a meeting somewhere else. And my meeting started early. So I was able to get in on the tail end of his preaching. I said, maybe God let him preach tonight. I walked in the back door. Man, he was stumbling all over. Said, couldn't preach. I was sitting out there at my display. He come out there and said, well, brother, did you get that preach out of you tonight? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you look like you wanted to preach over there in the fellowship hall the other night when I was talking to them people. I said, well, I kind of did, but I let it go. And he said, well, did you get to preach out of you tonight? I said, it's kind of like this right here. We had a good meeting. I enjoyed it. Lord moved in. And his humility has come back to him now. And he begins to talk to me like a fellow man of God should. But sometimes guys get so jacked up on what they learn in Bible college that they're no use to people that are common that can not understand what they're saying. You got to watch the researchers. They're figuring everything out. I'd rather hear a band preach that has an 8th grade education or a 5th grade education and had the power of God on him than all this fancy stuff that ain't got no power. That's exactly right. And I ain't trying to belittle a man that's got a doctorate degree, because I did tell him something else. I said, I ain't but one thesis away from a doctorate myself. And that's the truth. If I write a book, I can get it, but I don't know whether I'll ever get enough gumption about me to do that or not. I don't know. I don't know whether I want it or not. But researchers, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And then verse 8 says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those that resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You know something? We got reprobates out here walking around in this world. They're ignorant of the things of God, and they're ignorant of the power of God. Reprobate. Who else would want to approve a homosexual to get married to another one? That's a reprobate. I'm not saying that a homosexual cannot get saved. But I will say this, and I'm in the pulpit. God can judge me for it. A man that has done lived over 60 years as a man, decides he wants to be a woman, and has a change done on himself, I believe he's a reprobate. I know of that. My brother-in-law used to work with a guy named Michael. And they were always in this big company, and they did all this internet networking and knew each other kind of, but didn't know each other. And he was always introduced to him as Michael. Well, Michael retired. But when Michael retired, he wasn't Michael no more. He was Michelle. He come to his retirement party as a woman, dressed as a woman. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When they go that far, I think they're done going beyond God's deadline. I really believe that. I ain't saying they can't get saved, but he'd done went it full circle. He'd been changed. We got reprobates walking around out here. And I'm going to tell you something. I like to give the gospel to anybody that let me give it to them. But somebody that don't want it and don't want nothing to do with you and rejects you, I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time with them. I'm going to go to somebody that wants it. Because you can find those that want it. Really, you can. Now, people of the last days is the title of this message. I pray that none of us fall in these categories that we've just looked at. Because for the most part, everybody in these categories that we just looked at are lost folk. They're not saved. But the last person of the end times, praise God, is the redeemed. Praise God. Verse 15 says, and this was on my old prayer card. I don't remember whether I put it on this new one or not. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Praise be to God that I was young enough to have somebody that took me to church, and I began to hear the word of God when I was young, and I began to know what the scripture said. And then when I got as a teenager and I got out there doing things that was wrong, it's just like a dog on a shock collar. Son, you're wrong. Jerk you back. You put a bulldog on a chain. He'll run in that chain trying to do anything, but you jerk him back. Thank God I had that. Thank God my pastor got saved, a 38-year-old. But he was in a church in South Carolina, and the preacher got up that morning, didn't even have his note, and said, you bunch of Mormons going to hell. Made him mad, because he was a Mormon. Made him mad. Man, I ain't never going back to that church. He went to the Southern Baptist Church that his wife was a member of. And he got in there and said, man, this place is dead. Next Sunday, getting ready to go to church. He said, where are we going to church? He's going back over to that other church we went to last Sunday. He said, man, you got left there mad. Why are you going back over there? He said, it made me mad that they've done something. He said, that other place is dead. They didn't do nothing. I mean, I'd rather be bad than be dead. So he got back over there. And the fire of the gospel got a hold of him again. And that Monday afternoon, he got saved. He got down. He's a car wholesaler also. Sheriff and a car wholesaler. He did a good job. But he said he got out there and he was washing a Chrysler. He said, I found out I was dirty in that Chrysler. He didn't ask Christ to save him. But thank God from a child. I know some of them here have been saved from your early ages. I've known the Holy Scriptures. We're able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Scripture brings you to the Lord, brings you to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What did the redeemed do? They know the Scripture. They know what the Bible says. We might not be perfect and know everything about it, but we know when the man of God preaches, that's what the Bible says. And they know the Savior. Praise God. You ain't never alone. You ain't never alone. I remember one time when I was working for the power company, and I had a new company pick up. It had AM/FM radio in it, and I was listening to a BBN. And everything on BBN ain't perfect, but I did enjoy the music. And I did tell you one thing. The Holy Ghost got another pickup one day, and it got too little in there. I had to get out. Sometimes he'll show up. You and the Holy Ghost riding in one automobile, that's too little. You got to get out. Praise God, hallelujah. I found out that they was getting ready to stream live in South America, the gospel, in Spanish. It was almost too much for me because I love Spanish-speaking people. I don't like what they do here in America, but I love them. And we need to win as many as we can to the Lord. But now I'm going to tell you something. I ain't against winning these old Virginia folks, these South Carolina folks, and the people that's born right here. They just as lost as the other ones. We need to win as many as we possibly can. It don't make no difference what flavor they are before Christ comes back. Preacher, thank you.
Amen. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I enjoyed it. I didn't endure it, but I enjoyed it. It's the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for it. I really do. But, you know,